If you met God face to face and could ask one question of God, what would that question be? What would that? And I don't mean some big philosophical question. God, why is there evil in the world? And not a big philosophical, and not a trivial question. You know, God, when are the Aggies ever going to win the national championship in football? I mean, you know, I don't ask that question. I mean a personal question that you could ask God, and he was this there face to face before you. What would you ask God? See, because that's what we're looking at this morning. We're looking at Gideon, and God, it says the angel of the Lord, but that is an Old Testament phrase that refers to God taking on the form of a man. We'll look at that more next week, but if you could ask one question, what would you ask God? Now, let me ask a second question for you. Is there an area of your life where you need the peace of God? I mean, there's an area of your life that's in turmoil, and you just need the peace of God in that area of your life. Do you have an area like that? See, that kind of ties to the first question. God, why am I having this problem? And I just need some peace in this area of my life. Do you have an area like that? So we want to look at that this morning. Now, to give you a little background before we get going, and there's some great points on the life of Gideon, but here's just a quick background here. We looked last week at Deborah, and we looked at this valley in the country of Israel. Up in north central Israel, there's a valley known as the Valley of Jezreel, or in the New Testament, it's called the Valley of Armageddon. But the valley is the breadbasket of Israel. I mean, it's where they grow their wheat in that valley to feed the whole country. And when God divided the nation of Israel up among the 12 different tribes, the Hebrew tribes, this area went to the tribe of Manasseh. Now, within Manasseh, there were 8 clans, and it's irrelevant on all of these clans, but I want you to notice the one I have circled, because there were 8 clans within the tribe of Manasseh. And the clan that we're looking at is the Asrielites. The Asrielites, because Gideon was a part of this clan, and that's going to become important as we look at this. But so there was a clan of Asrielites, and when you think of clans, you can think of like counties. You know, in each clan, they had their clan town. It's like Seguin is the county seat of Guadalupe County. Well, the Asrielites had their own county seat town, so to speak. It was the town of Oprah. Now, be careful here, because don't go home tomorrow and talk to one of your friends and say, guess what I learned at church? I learned where Oprah Winfrey's from. She's the tribe of Manasseh, you know, right there. And, you know, no, this has nothing to do with Oprah. In fact, Oprah Winfrey, that's not even her real name. Her real name is Orpah, not Oprah. You know, Orpah was Ruth's sister-in-law over in the book of Ruth, but no one in her family could have pronounced Oprah, so they pronounced it Oprah. That's confusing, isn't it, here? But that has nothing to do with this sermon here, just so you know that. But that was the name of their tribal county seat, so to speak, town, was Oprah. And their clan leader of that clan was a fellow by the name of Joash. And let me tell you, Joash, he was the bull of the clan here. You know, they'd pick the toughest guy to be the leader of their clan, and he was it. Nobody wanted to mess with Joash, the head of the clan there of the Abrielites. Now it was the smallest clan in all of Manasseh, but that was their clan. Now, here's why you need to know that. You don't need to know all the clans, but here's what happened in Judges chapter 6. This was the breadbasket of Israel. And every fall, it would just have ripe wheat fields all over that valley if you looked at it. But there was this group out in the Arabian desert known as the Midianites. They're in what's Saudi Arabia, we'd call it today. And if you've ever seen a picture of Saudi Arabia, you know, it's pretty barren out there. I mean, they don't have wheat fields out there in Saudi Arabia. And so these Midianites, they figured out there's some wheat fields. Oh, sure looks nice. And so they'd get on their camels, they'd bring their old scrawny cows along, and over 100,000, let's say, in fact, about 150,000 of them eventually, they'd get on their camels with their cows and bring their tents and their families, and they'd come cross the Jordan River into that valley at harvest time, and they'd just take over the valley. I mean, they'd eat all the grain, they'd let all their animals feed, they'd just take over the valley. And that tribe of Manasseh, they couldn't do anything about it. And you see, the Asrielites, they were the first clan that got hit when they crossed the river. And here's what they do. We get the indication. They just went to that town of Oprah, and they talked to Joash, the head of the clan. They said, we don't want any trouble out of you. He said, here's what we're going to do. He says, you got three boys. We're taking your two oldest boys with us. We're going to take them up north, up there to Mount Tabor, where we have our headquarters. And we get any trouble out of you, we'll kill your boys. And so old Joash, the head of the clan, he lost his two oldest boys up there. And you know, I don't know whether they gave him trouble or not, but they killed his two oldest boys. He was down to his last son. And so that's the situation. You had all these Midianites taking over the whole valley with their camels and their now fat cows. And before they left, if there's any grain left, they'd just burn it all down. And this went on year after year after year after year. 7 years, they kept showing up in that valley. And after 7 years, we pick up with Gideon. And watch what it says about him. It says, the angel of the Lord, remember that is God showing up in person, as taking a human form, says, the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, that's the county seat town, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, he's the clan leader, the Abizrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the wine press in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. Now picture the scene. Gideon, he's the last son left, and he's out there. Now, he's already grown, has a child of his own, but he comes out, and usually if you're going to thresh wheat, usually what you do is you do it in the middle of the day, and you find a nice tall hill and a breezy day, and you get your bull up there, and he stomps all over that grain and breaks it all up between the husk and the wheat. And then once it's broken up, you take your pitchfork and you toss it all in the air, and the lighter husks blow away, and the heavier grain falls down. And that's how you thresh, and that's how you get your grain. But if he goes out on a hill in the daytime, the Midianites are going to come and take all his grain. So he waits till the middle of the night. It's dark, probably not even the moon out that night. And he goes out, and here's a picture of a place. It's where you stomp grapes. I mean, it's the wine press. And, you know, it's kind of a big rock hole in the ground, and you put your grapes in there, and then you get in and you stomp around, and all the juice comes out, and it goes in that little hole in the middle, and then you scoop up all your grape juice to make your wine. And so this is a wine press. And so Gideon's out there in the middle of the night, down inside this wine press, stomping on this wheat here, you know, can't get a bull down in there, so he's stomping on the wheat, and he's going to try to toss it up and make some wheat so that it's not taken by the Midianites. So here he is hiding in the middle of the night down here, and here comes the Lord, and he just kind of sits there under a tree and looks over there, and he says, hail, mighty man of valor, the Lord's with you. And Gideon kind of looks around, you know. He's kind of, you talking to me? Says, yeah, I'm talking to you. And Gideon asks his question. And that's the question we looked at earlier. Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. Says, Lord. And notice, and we'll look at this next week. Notice it in this verse. If you can look in your Bible in verse 13 of Judges chapter 6. You know, you see the word Lord there twice. This is just a side note for you to understand a little Hebrew. The first word, Lord, that's just the word for sir. The second word, Lord, you'll notice it's in all caps. And when you see that word Lord in all caps, that's the word Jehovah or Yahweh in the Hebrew language. And so he's saying, sir, he doesn't realize this is God he's talking to. He says, sir, if Jehovah is with us, why are we having all these problems? See, that's his question to God. God, why am I having these problems? What did I do to deserve this? I want you to notice something. If you read past this verse, God never answers that question. God never answers his question. But here's what I want you to notice. Three lessons out of here I want you to pick up. Lesson number one. God has often already answered my questions before I ask them. See what I've discovered about God? Sometimes I ask God and I'll say, God, why has this happened? And I have a feeling God, you know, he could have said, well, Gideon, see that altar of Baal over there? Think that might have anything to do with it? But, you know, that hadn't crossed Gideon's mind, you know. But here's Gideon complaining. See, I found that in my life. Often God has already given me the answer. If I'll just go to God's word, if I'll just study it, if I'll just listen to what God said, I really kind of know the answer. I just don't want to admit I know the answer. But look, and we're not going to dwell on this, but let me just go real quick here. Because before, if you go before this, God had already sent a prophet around to that tribe of Manasseh. And I won't read all this, but that prophet, he said, you know, here's what the Lord says. Number one, he says, when you were slaves in Egypt, I brought you out of Egypt. Number two, he said, when you came to this land, I drove out the other people in this land so you could have it. And number three, I said, don't worship their gods. But you've done it anyway. See, God had already told them what the problem was. So here's just the first side lesson I want you to note briefly, is that oftentimes God doesn't answer my questions because I already know the answer to the question. And God just needs me to go back to the answer. But let's look at lesson two. God can do more through you than you think he can. God can do more through you than you think God can do through you. See, Gideon was over here. And Gideon said, I can't do, you know, what can I do? And God said, Gideon, in fact, let's look what he said. God said, have I not sent you? So he said to him, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest clan of all eight clans of the tribe of Manasseh. And I'm the youngest in my father's house. His older brothers, they are already dead. He says, I'm the youngest and the weakest clan in all the tribe of Manasseh. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. See, God said, it doesn't matter. You can be the youngest one in the weakest clan. God said, I'm with you, and that's all that matters. See, it doesn't matter how strong you are. It just matters how strong I am. And over in the New Testament, it says God has chosen the world's insignificant and despised things, the things viewed as nothing, that he might bring to nothing the things that are viewed as something, so that no one can boast in his presence, in order that, as it is written, the one who boasts must boast in the Lord. See, over in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, 10, it says, for by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, in order that no one can boast about what you did. So here's the lesson I want you to get and understand from Gideon as we start off, is that you can do more for God than you think you can. See, some of you are saying, well, I can't do much for God. I don't have any talent. I don't have any skill. You know, I can't teach. I can't sing. I can't preach. I don't know what I could do for God. Let me give you a few verses. Philippians 4:13. These are all by Paul. Paul wrote this in prison. He said, I'm able to do all things through him who strengthens me. Try another one out here. Try Romans 8:37. It says, in all things we are more than victorious through him who loved us. Or let's try out 2 Corinthians 12. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weakness, so that Christ's power may reside in me. So because of Christ, now let me ask you this, can you say this? Can you say, because of Christ, I'm pleased in weakness, in insults, in catastrophes, in persecutions, in pressures? Can you say, well, I'm pleased in all these things? For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. You know, I'll be honest with you. You know, I have kind of a hard time sometimes saying, God, I'm pleased when a catastrophe strikes. Yeah, hallelujah. You know, but watch, he says, sometimes I put you in that position so you'll know I'm the one doing it and not you. See, that's what he did with Gideon. In fact, in a couple of weeks, we're going to look when Gideon had his battle and he's fighting 100,000 guys and he has 300 men. See, and God says, I'm doing that so you'll know you can't handle it on your own. See, here's the deal. Some of you are going to say, well, I can't handle that. And you're right. You can't. But God says, I can. And I want you to get to the point where you understand you can't deal with it, so that you'll start trusting me. But watch, I'm going to dwell on this third point. Third point I want you to understand is that following God usually starts in your own home. It usually starts in your own home. Let's come back to Gideon. Gideon is out here and God speaks to him and says, I'm going to lead you. You're going to become the leader of the whole tribe of Manasseh. says, you may be the youngest son in the weakest clan, but you're going to be the leader of the tribe. But he says it has to start in your own home. So watch what God says to him. It says, it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock and in the proper arrangement. And take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you're going to cut down. And Gideon took 10 men from among his servants, and he did as the Lord had said to him. All right, let's look at the story. I mean, here's Gideon. He's out here at the edge of town, out at the wine press, and God says, okay, Gideon, I want you to go over to that altar of Baal which your father built, the kind of the town altar for Baal, for your clan. I want you to tear it down. It says, go over there, tear it down. And so Gideon, now watch. Gideon is willing to face 100,000 Midianites with 300 men, but he's not willing to face his father. You know what I mean? He says, I'm not facing my father. So he does it in the middle of the night, on a dark night where nobody can see what he's doing. And he gets 10 of the men who work for his father. He says, now don't tell my father what's going on. And he gets that 7-year-old bull, and he makes a little sled behind it, and he hooks it up, and they take down this rock altar. I put a picture up here, a rock altar to Baal, and they pile all the stones on top of that little sled, and they haul it over here to the wine press, and he builds an altar over here at the wine press. And then he goes back over. And now watch, Baal, he is the god of thunder and rain. So if you want rain for your crops, you better make a little sacrifice to Baal. He's usually pictured with a lightning bolt. And Baal's girlfriend is named Ashtoreth. And for Ashtoreth, they make a little wooden pole in the ground, and they carve on it here. So like this little wooden carving here. And so they make a wooden carved pole, and they put it next to Baal's altar. That's his girlfriend. Now, Ashtoreth, she is the goddess of fertility. And if you want your cows and sheep to have lots of little cows and sheep, you make a little sacrifice to Ashtoreth. Well, God said, take that little pole of Ashtoreth, pull it out of the ground, bring it over here, chop it into pieces, make kindling wood out of it. And you put it on top of that altar you built. And then take that 7-year-old bull and you kill him, cut him up, put him on the altar and burn him as a sacrifice to me, the true God. So Gideon does all that. But he does it in the middle of the night where no one else sees. And once he's offered the sacrifice and the bull's all burning good, then he goes back home and he goes to bed and doesn't tell anybody. Well, the next morning, some of the men get up in town and they head out to the field to go out and do their work. And as they're heading out to the field, they walk by and, where's the altar to Baal? Where's his girlfriend? Where's the Ashtoreth? What happened? And they, what's that smoke over there? And they come over and there's the last little bits of Ashtoreth burning there on top of it. And the bull's burned and there's all our rocks. And they say, somebody's paying for this. So they start going around town. Who did that? Who tore down our altar to Baal? Who did that? One of those 10 guys, he said, don't blame me. Don't blame Gideon made me do it. It wasn't my fault. Gideon made me do it. So they go over to Joash's house. They say, Joash, get out here. Says, your son Gideon tore down our altar to Baal. He chopped up our Ashtoreth pole. He made an altar to Jehovah out of it. Says he needs to die. So Joash comes out the door. He looks at those men of the town. He looks at that altar that's gone, sees the smoke over there. Joash says, I've already lost 2 of my boys. Gideon's the only one I have left. He said, if Baal has a problem with somebody tearing down his altar, let Baal deal with it. But the first one of you who touches my boy, I'm going to kill him. They have a little conference over here. They say, you know what? If Baal has a problem with someone tearing his altar down, that's Baal's problem, not my problem here. They say, I don't care about that. He says, Gideon, we're with you. Yeah, we're going to worship you as the true God over there. We don't care about that old, we never liked his girlfriend anyway here. And so, you know, they're all with Gideon now. And that day, Gideon's father passed the leadership of the clan over to Gideon. And Gideon became the leader of the clan. But watch. See, eventually, as we go to the next chapter, too, Gideon's going to become the leader of the whole tribe of Manasseh. But before that happened, he had to become the leader of his own clan. And before that happened, he had to become the leader in his own family. And before that happened, he had to get right with God himself. See, it starts in your own heart, and then it goes to your family before it goes somewhere else. And so Gideon looked at that altar over there. And it says, watch what it says. It says in verse 24, so Gideon built that altar to the Lord, and he called it the Lord is peace. He called it Jehovah Shalom in the Hebrew. Jehovah Shalom, Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is peace. And to this day, it's still an Oprah of the Abiezrites. You know, this was written a couple hundred years after that. So that altar Gideon built, it's still there today to the Lord of peace. Now, here's what I want you to go home with today. I want you to remember these lessons. I want you to remember it. You know, it starts in your own home, starts in your own heart. But before you can have peace in the valley, you have to have peace in your own home. And before there's peace in your own home, you need peace in your own heart. Now watch, Gideon built this altar when the valley was still full of Midianites. There's still 150,000 Midianites out there. There wasn't peace in the valley. But he said, the Lord is peace. We're going to have some hard times, but God's going to see us through it. Now here's what I want you to understand. Just one last verse for you. And that is, you know what? I never did turn on my 30-minute timer here. Y'all are out of luck here. But here's what I want you to understand. The same one who appeared to Gideon 3,200 years ago, that same one who appeared to Gideon 1,200 years later is the same one who was sitting in the upper room with the disciples. It was a Thursday night, and he met with the disciples, and here's what he said. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give you as the world gives. Your heart must not be troubled or fearful. See, that's the same one in that upper room who was talking to Gideon out at that wine press. Same one. And when he talked to Gideon, if you read the whole text, he said, peace to you, Gideon. The Lord is with you. See, that's the same thing that Jesus said in the upper room. And to give you a little background, it's Thursday night. Jesus knows that he's going out to the garden. He knows he'll be arrested. He knows he'll be crucified the next morning. And he meets with the disciples. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. He says, you believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And where I go, you're going to come with me. And Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we come? And he says, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And he says, I'm going away, but I'm going to come again. And in the meanwhile, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. That's verse 26. He says, you'll get the Holy Spirit. And in verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you. The peace he's leaving you is the Holy Spirit. He's giving you his Spirit to live inside. Remember with Gideon, God said, don't worry, I'm with you. When you go out to battle, I'm going to be with you. And that's why you can have Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Because God's Spirit was going with Gideon. And that's what Jesus tells the disciples. I'm going to leave my Spirit with you. See, that's what he's done for us. He says, I'm going to give you a peace. That peace is my Spirit within you. And when you have him, he says, it's not like the world's peace. It's a peace that comes from within, from my Spirit giving you that peace. And Jesus said, I'm going to die on a cross tomorrow morning. See, they didn't understand that. But the next morning, he was going to die on a cross to take the punishment for our sins. He was going to be buried. On the third day, on Sunday morning, he was going to rise from the dead. But before he died for their sins, he said, my peace I'm giving to you. And if you're here this morning, and you ask God a question, you say, God, why am I having these difficulties in my life? Why am I going through these things? God says, number one, go back and look at the word I've already given you. But he says, remember, you can do more than you think you can. because I've given you my Spirit if you've committed your life to be my follower. And that's my encouragement for you this morning, to give your life to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And he in turn will give you his Spirit in order that you can have peace. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are Jehovah Shalom. I thank you that you're the God of peace that Gideon built that altar for. And Father, I thank you that even when the valley was full of Midianites, even when he'd lost his two brothers, even when everybody in town wanted to kill him, that he knew that he worshiped the God of peace. And Father, you had given him a promise. You'd said, Gideon, you're going to live through this. You're going to lead your tribe. And I thank you that he stood on that word and he followed you. Father, even when it was hard, even when he wouldn't do it in broad daylight and he waited till the middle of the night, but he was still obedient to you. And Father, I pray for each individual here this morning that they'd take that first step. They'd take that first step in the path forward that you have for them. Father, for some here, that's committing their life to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And Father, for some there, Father, they can take that first step and just come here this morning and walk down to the front in just a moment as we sing that song that the choir sang and say, just as I am, I may not be the strongest, my clan may be the weakest clan in Seguin, but just as I am without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me and that you bid me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Father, I pray they'd come. Father, I pray for some, and they may be like Gideon. They may say, I don't even know if I can do that. Father, I pray they'd fill out one of those cards. Father, fill out a yellow card and say, I'd like to commit my life to Jesus, or I'd like to be baptized, or I'd like to know about membership, and just put that in the offering plate. Father, I pray they take that step. Father, I pray for some here this morning, and Father, they have an Ashtara pole sitting out in their yard at home, and Father, I pray they just chop that thing up and burn it as a sacrifice to you and say, I know what I need to do. Father, today's going to be the day I actually say, Lord, I'm going to do it. Father, I pray they make a commitment to follow you. Father, for many here this morning who, Father, they need to start in their own home and to say, I'm going to follow you in my home. I want my home to be a godly home. I'm going to follow you in my house. Father, I pray they'd make that commitment this morning. Father, if it be their own home, if they need to have a church home, Father, I pray they'd either come or fill out that card and say, I'd like this to be my church home. Father, if they need to have a heavenly home, I pray they'd say, Lord Jesus, I commit my life to be your follower. And Father, I pray they'd publicly show that through a resurrection baptism and fill out a card and say, I want to be baptized, go under the water and come out as a sign that I've committed my life to the house of God. Father, I pray that you'd speak to each heart here about their next step spiritually. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand if you would. You've already heard the choir sing this song. Many of you already know the song, but let's sing. If you need to make a decision for the Lord, if you need to come publicly, say, I need to be a part of the church, I need to be baptized, I need to follow the Lord, I'd invite you to come. If you need to fill out a card, I'd invite you to do that as we sing, just as I am, without one plea.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God.
morning and make a decision, or if you need to fill out one of those cards, if you have a prayer request, you can fill that out. If you'd like more information about the church, you can fill that out. Just drop it in the offering plate at the end of the service.